Welcome to Behind the Locker Room Door with Jeff Skurin, Glenn P. Howell, and Brad Allis. Presented by Nova Home Loans. This show is designed to give listeners a completely different perspective on sports. We want you to see sports from a different angle. That will help you appreciate what happens behind the locker room doors.
And you're listening to the inaugural episode of Behind the Locker Room Door, and it's brought to you by Eric Painter and the presidential team at Nova Home Loans, Tucson's number one home lender. And as the fancy voice guy said in the intro, this is Behind the Locker Room Door. And the show is designed to give listeners a completely different perspective on current sports events and actions. The objective is to provide information from the inside that only those who've actually been there and seen how things work and how things develop and how the development could provide. We want to give the audience an opportunity to see and understand sports from a different angle that will help them appreciate what happens that few actually get to see. And the way the show has been designed is to cover that full spectrum. We've got coaching legend Jeff Skurin, state titles, and more, maybe most importantly, one of the few men who have taken 0-10 teams,
three of them, yeah.
And put them in the playoffs the next year. But for those of you who don't know Coach Skurin's background, and we'll get to it here in a minute, not just a coach. He's a former player. He's been involved in strength and conditioning. He has not only coached high school football, but professionally and semi-pro in Europe. It's just, Coach, introduce yourself a little bit, because we've shared the air a few times. You've actually got the journalism degree here, which is the irony. Fantastic to be back on the air with you again.
Yeah, thank you very much. And if my parents were alive right now, they'd be very, very proud of me, because when I left journalism school, I went to law school, and after that, that's what they wanted me to be. And when I switched over to sports, they loved it. They thought it was great, but they always said, you know, someday you'll go back and you'll use this journalism degree. And how did I know they were ever right? I mean, I was just very fortunate in my coaching career to learn early. You know what you know, and you better find some people to fill in the blanks with what you don't know. And I was a great lesson for me, and I learned it actually in music industry, and I carried forward on all my coaching, and I've just been around it. And people like Glenn, that's exactly how we met. I had some really top flight athletes, coaching 150 or so kids myself, recognized that some of these guys needed some extra help, and I found Glenn, and he was the perfect choice, and that was, gosh, 30 years ago, and here we are together still.
So as Coach Skurin said, we got Glenn Howell, it's Radio Land, so you don't care what side of me he's on. Glenn played at the University of Arizona, tight end, then went on to go make a training camp with the then Los Angeles Raiders.
Yes.
So that's pretty awesome. I mean, how many of us get to experience that? Then came back to Tucson, has been a broadcaster, has done things with the University of Arizona. But really, where you've carved out your niche is strength and conditioning, both being a private trainer and a strength and conditioning coach for various programs here in town. So we've got a coach, we've got a trainer, we've got guys who played the game. Glenn, let people just know kind of your perspective on things.
Well, you know, I have had a wealth of experience coming from, you know, working as, you know, as a strength and conditioning specialist, working with, you know, the Pima College, working with, you know, Arizona rugby team, which I had, which was an amazing thing to see those guys. If you think that football players are tough, rugby players, I think, are a little bit tougher. So, you know, I worked with them, and then now I'm the head strength coach for the Tucson Sugar Skulls, and that's another different element of football, because you're in the indoor football league. And, you know, working with orthopedic surgeons, working with, you know, ATCs, those are the people that make our athletes get where they need to be, because they have injuries, they have things that we have to rehab, we have to get them stronger, and the strength and conditioning side is what we do. We spend the most time with those athletes, and we deal with a lot of different things on, you know, emotional side, on the physical side, on the, you know, on every single thing, a part of the of an athlete. So, and dealing with parents also, you know, because you always get those parents that, you know, I've had experience where parents like, you know, could you train with him one day and make make them go Division One. I'm like, one day, I'm like, you know, if I could do that, I'd have the biggest house on the hill, you know. So it's getting people educated about what they need for their, you know, for kids and also for professional athletes. I trained Blake Martinez, who's the leading tackler in the National Football League. You know, the kid is, you know, I trained him since he was in eighth grade. And, you know, it just the progression of seeing those kids grow. And that's what I want to give some insight from the other perspective of, so parents can have an insight of why these kids are on the field and how they got on the field.
And I bring a different perspective. My name is Brad Ellis. I have been a journalist here in town basically since the mid-90s when I was still at the University of Arizona. My most notable stint has been with Cat Tracks Magazine, which later became Wildcat Sports Reports. I've worked for 24/7 Sports, Scout.com, Rivals.com, and I worked for the Marana News and the Northwest Explorer, where I actually won awards for my coverage of high school and youth sports. Coached a little bit at Cholla, not quite with Coach Skurin's success, and didn't quite crank out the pro level and D1 level athletes that Glenn and Coach have had. But I've been out there. I'm currently coaching youth sports here in town. So that's kind of the idea. We've got the championship coach who had this time with the Gators. We've got Glenn Howell, who is the trainer, but he's the former player who has been in an NFL training camp. He's been at Camp Cochise with Coach Smith. You name a great player of those Larry Smith teams, chances are Glenn either played with them or knows him. You talk about young athletes in town. Both of these gentlemen have had such an influence, and I've had the joy and privilege of covering many of those athletes, both in a recruiting basis for like the recruiting networks, as well as what I think I took more pride in was my sports stories that appeared, again, at the Northwest Explorer, Marana News, Tucson Citizen. Now, this show is going to be different. Anyone can tell you who won last night. Some do it better than others, but anyone can tell you who won. Anyone can tell you, and you can hear it everywhere, the U of A, who they're playing in two weeks. You know, we could break down Utah. We could do a great job. In fact, Glenn does some of that. We're not going to do that. What we want to do is we want to, as the title of the show says, get behind the locker room door. And whether that's the locker room with the X's and O's on the chalkboard that Coach Skurin drew up, whether that's going into that weight room, onto that track where Glenn is developing those athletes, or from my perspective, where I saw how players got recruited, I saw the final results of what Coach Skurin and Coach Howell did developing these players. We want to cast a spotlight on different types of athletes. Yes, we all have football backgrounds. Some a little bit better than others. I played a little offensive line as a freshman at Saguaro, and I was terrible. Or you could be Glenn Howell, who made training camp with the Raiders. But that's what we want to do. But we're going to talk about other sports. In fact, today we're going to be talking about adaptive athletes. We're going to be talking about the impact COVID is having across, again, you hear me say spectrum a lot, spotlight a lot, and that's kind of what we want to do. We don't just, you know, this isn't going to be the interview with seven-year-olds, but we're going to tell you what the seven-year-olds are going through. I coached some 9-year-old soccer players today in a COVID world, and that's what this show is about. It's not going to sound like anything else. Hopefully we mean that in the best way, because we are bringing championship rings. We're bringing guys who have done it on the gridiron. We're doing it people who have been a keyboard warrior. And that's my hope, and I know that's your gentleman's hope for this show.
Yeah, and the collaborations that happen between the different entities that make this athlete get onto the field. Because, you know, like Jeff was mentioning in the first part, is that, you know, I met Jeff. He sent me some players. I developed them, got them better for him. He got them on the field. He coached them. He got them everything. And they all went on to D1. These guys are some of the guys. I did the special little things with them. And he collaborated. He wasn't like, oh, don't touch my kid. It's those guys. He knew how to have a collaboration with other people. And that's important.
In the end, you really want the success of the kid. You want you want that kid to go as far as his talent could actually take him. And that's a collaboration. It's never one person, and in certain sports it's teamwork. And if you don't have that group around you, it's a tough road ahead.
That was Coach Skurin. The voice you heard before that was Glenn Howell. I'm Brad Ellis, and you're listening to Behind the Locker Room Door When we come back, Coach Skurin is going to take you into his office with a special interview. Again, you're listening to Behind the Locker Room Door, which is brought to you by Eric Painter and the presidential team at Nova Home Loans, Tucson's number one home lender. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, it's Bill and Lamone from CPRDU. We're proud to sponsor Behind the Locker Room Door. As with any activity, there's always a possibility of getting injured.
CPRDU trains many of our youth, high school, and college coaches in CPR and first aid. We want you to come and take a certified CPR course. Mention you heard this on Behind the Locker Room Door and get a 50% discount. Contact us at cpr2u.com or call us at 520-400-8204. At CPR2U, we save lives.
This is Coach Jeff Skurin. I'd like to tell you about my friend Dan Price of Price & Price Attorneys. As our family attorney, Dan was so much more than a professional helping us in our time of need. He was a true friend of the family. If you don't know Dan, let me tell you that he's organized, prepared, intelligent, and a sincere person as you're ever going to meet. We trust Dan with our family needs, and we know that you can trust him with yours. If you have a personal injury case, call Price & Price and ask for Dan.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Force for Health, where everybody can be a force for health. For themselves, their families, and communities. Visit theforceforhealth.com for more information.
This is Edmund Marquez with Allstate Insurance. I had the pleasure of playing football for Coach Skurin on the Sabino High School undefeated state championship team of 1990. Coach Skurin taught us to leave it all out on the field, to have a plan and to work hard to execute that plan. At our local Allstate agencies, we take that same winning attitude when helping our clients protect their assets and their loved ones. If you want to be in good hands and save money on your home and auto insurance, please call the Edmund Marquez Allstate agencies today.
You're listening to Behind the Locker Room Door, brought to you by the presidential team at Nova Home Loans. This segment of Behind the Locker Room Door is brought to you by Edmund Marquez, Allstate Agencies. You're in good hands with Edmund and his team for your auto and home insurance needs. Now, we go to the segment of our show we like to call Coach's Office. We're going to let you step inside Coach Skurin's private office for a direct and hard-hitting question and answer session. This week, the coach will speak with Nemer Hasse, the well-known football coach from Saguaro and Cienega, go Cougs, by the way, who became athletic director, then principal at Cienega, and worked directly with the AIA, which is the Arizona Interscholastic Association, as Southern Arizona's representative. Nemer has just opened Micah Mountain High School in Vail's School District's newest high school, and he'll talk about the effects of COVID has had on his school and Southern Arizona as a whole.
This week, the Vail School District Board, the district Micah Mountain is part of, voted to allow sports to begin, despite the recommendations of the Pima County Health Department. Can you tell us what directly led to this decision and how it will play out in terms of student safety, something I know you're very concerned about?
Absolutely. First off, we've been talking about sports for about 3 or 4 months. We meet weekly as a district, and it's been a topic along with everything else. First and foremost, superintendents in Pima County have stuck together and have depended on the Pima County Health Department and health officials to give them the proper information. And first and foremost, the priority has been to open schools. Sports has been a conversation, but not the priority. It was figuring out how we're going to open schools. And in Vail School District, with health officials' advice, we decided we could do a hybrid model with good mitigation plans on our campuses and open with half our students on campus each day.
Explain to me some of those mitigation plans, because I think people really want to know. I know some of the details, and you guys have gone to a great length to do some very special things. Please tell us about those.
So we do temperature checks every day. We do face coverings for everybody, and our students have been fantastic at Micah Mountain following those rules. We have good flow patterns. Fortunately, at Micah Mountain, we have 83 acres and only 550 students, so it's a little bit different situation for me than it might be for Cienega, but we're all following the same type of pattern. We have great contact tracing protocols. Our human resources department helps us with all those. We have a COVID hotline department within our district that helps with contact tracing and making sure that we're looking into flu-like symptoms and COVID-like symptoms, along with tracking the positive tests, negative tests, that kind of thing. And we're continuing to be consistent with that, and we adjust based on what CDC and Pima County Health tells us to do.
Tell me a little bit about this modified bubble. I think that's the greatest thing I've heard so far.
So for let me go back to the superintendents have done a great job. All the public education Pima County superintendents have been meeting together and working together the entire time, trying to figure out how to open schools, but also sports, because sports, as you know me very well, they're very important for the mental health. They're very important to keep our students engaged. I feel really bad for our high school students right now, or all students. They're just in a weird time right now, and we all are, but they're dealing with things that are just like shock. So we've been meeting with Pima County health officials. They have given us guidance that is being used at the University of Arizona. We are taking those protocols with face coverings, temperature checks, and the bubbling part of our mitigation plan is that we are in a hybrid situation, and we do have a good portion, about 20% of our students, that are in a remote learning plan. They're still part of our schools, Mica Mountain, Cienega, Empire. They are still part of our schools, but they are completely 100% remote. The bubbling we're going to do with contact sports, football, soccer, basketball. Wrestling right now is on hold, so we don't know when that'll even start. But football, soccer, basketball, we will bubble our athletes. They will go full remote. They'll stay home to do their instruction. They'll log in during class time. They'll still have their same teacher. They'll do all their instruction off campus, and they'll come in as a group as to practice, to play their games, and that kind of thing.
Neymar, the Arizona Interscholastic Association, through its decisions, has literally split our state into pieces in terms of an athletic plan. I know you've been active with the AIA as a coach, athletic director, and a principal, and have clashed with them in the past. Can you give us any idea of what happened to produce what we all agree is the worst possible of all outcomes, as opposed to like the state of Virginia, who had a very specific plan that everyone rallied around? Has this hurt our Tucson athletes?
It has hurt our Tucson athletes. It's hurt Arizona athletics. I think Washington, California, New Mexico, to some regard, and the Virginia plan was a great way to delay the start of sports, put everybody on the same page. Remember, Arizona Interscholastic Association is an association that we are part of. And although we have representation in the executive board, Pima County and Tucson has been kind of left out, and we're kind of on our own, and everybody is going in different directions and not the same. We have arrows everywhere instead of arrows in the same direction to provide sports across the whole state. Pima County superintendents have followed the health department recommendations, the Pima County Health Department. Their first priority has been school safety, our student safety, staff safety, and opening schools for education and learning in a smooth way and a safe way. And the sports disjointed plan from the AIA has really put the pressure on.
With all this going on, please tell me, what will be the impact on our kids that really want to go play after high school in a college setting, maybe get a scholarship if they're gifted enough? What is all this going to produce? Because we know as coaches for a long time, and you've been great on this too, what's going to happen with these kids?
So a full scholarship, I think, are earned in the junior season. Most of the time, the best players are found in that grade level. So our current seniors, I think, will be okay. They can, you know, market themselves, and they should already be talking to colleges. I'm worried about the current juniors. They're going to have to do some work. Hopefully, they'll get some of their season, get some film out to the colleges, and they're going to have to do some work maybe with camps and that kind of thing. I do think colleges will find the best players. But you know, the junior level is where I'm a little worried about our students if we don't get some seasons going. But we got to do it in a safe way, or it'll shut down the whole thing.
My friends have been in college coaching a long time, call this the return of the walk-on. What do you think about that, for kids to get an opportunity that don't think they got one in college, in high school, for their college career?
Well, I think they should. I mean, if you look at there's different players from Tucson that are in the pros right now that were not recruited heavily. I think it's a good option. I think if you really want to play, you can find a place to play.
I agree with you completely, and let me just tell you directly, I everybody doesn't know this, but you and I have been friends for a long time. I gave you your first job right out of when you were still a college student, and I thought the world of your career, but you're the one of those guys that just does it right, and what you've done for education in our community as a teacher, a coach, an athletic director, and now a principal is just fantastic. Thank you so much for your service.
Thank you for having me.
Again, that was a little trip into Coach Skurin's office, the coach's office. I'd like to remind you that this segment of Behind the Locker Room Door is brought to you by Edmund Marquez Allstate Agencies. You're in good hands with Edmund and his team for your home and auto insurance needs. Coach, you brought up an interesting point with do we still call him Coach Hassie? I think we still call him Coach Hassie, Principal Hassie.
Yeah.
But you brought up recruiting and the challenges. It's not so much for the seniors, some, but really for those juniors who are looking for exposure.
Yeah, if people aren't familiar with the modern recruiting process, it starts a lot sooner than you'd like to think. And if kids aren't really on their radar, and I mean high on their radar, you know, because a lot of kids get mail. And let's face it, sometimes things change and colleges have to go deeper into their list than they would like to do. And so they keep kids interested and they send out, but a football team will send out anywhere from 500 to 1,000 kids letters. And they're going to scholarship 20 to 25. 25 is the maximum. And so sometimes we get a little bit of a false picture when we count our letters or we talk about who's talking to us. But that's modern recruiting. Most of the balls are in their court. My college buddies, and there's, I'm talking hundreds of them, they tell me this is going to be the year of the walk-on. And this will give them a chance to see kids on campus. Now, the special kids are going to get. They always find them. This transfer business for scholarships is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. I've got to tell you that straight. Because college coaches make, at a major university, these guys are making $150, $200, $250. I'm talking about the lesser coaches, the new ones, and they get that reward for finding these kids, and they go out and they find them. It's the ones that don't get the opportunity. They want to think about perhaps a little bit different path so they can be seen.
And you know, and I think it's going to be the preferred walk-on because there's going to be a lot of kids that are going to be asked, like, hey, we like you, but we want to see you. We didn't get to see you in the summertime, which was one of my problems with my son is Kobe. He's a late bloomer, and we had plans to go to all these camps during the summer so they can see him, but we just didn't have that because of COVID. And everything has changed now. So we have to really look at a different plan, and we got a different plan. I'm calling all my coaches that I knew when I was playing, and they're still coaching, believe it or not, and some of the former U of A players that are coaches at some of these universities.
One of the things that most high school coaches do a pretty good job of is trying to expose the kids that they believe have the academics, have the personal traits, because of the work ethic and being a good person. Those things, particularly in this age of social media, those things have become much bigger than a lot of people suspect. I mean, these college coaches go on your Facebook page and your Twitter and all that and look and see what you're doing and who you're hanging out with. I mean, that's realistic today. And so any chance they get, but Niemer brought up a great point. I still call Coach Hassie. I still call him Niemer. I can't help it. I knew him as high school. But, you know, he brought up a great point, and that is it's these current kids, these kids that are playing their junior year. That's when they really, the colleges, you know, really find these kids and get behind them and kind of find out the ones they want to travel with a little bit here. And that's the ones that I think we should be worried about.
Yeah, and we could talk about a little bit more in the next segment, but you mentioned, Glenn, that summer is so important. It really is now.
Yeah.
Especially football, but all sports, whether you're playing softball and you're on your travel team, whether it's AAU basketball, and now they even have like AAU track. Next summer for these juniors is going to be maybe more important than it's ever been before. And we can talk a little bit about that as well as your experience now as a parent of a high school football player in the COVID era. And just, I want to pick coach's brain and find out how would you have dealt with this? And how are you, Glenn, as a trainer dealing with this? We want to remind you that, again, you're listening to Behind the Locker Room Door, and this show is brought to you by Eric Painter and the presidential team at Nova Home Loans. Tucson's number one home lender. And this segment is brought to you by Edmund Marquez Allstate Agencies. You're in good hands with Edmund and his team for your auto and insurance needs. As we go to break, again, this is going to be kind of our COVID show, and I know some of you have been don't want to hear it, but I think what we're going to try and do is bring you a perspective here that you're not. You're hearing about bubbles. You're hearing about, are they going to play? Aren't they going to play? But really, next segment, let's delve into what it's like as you, Glenn, as a parent with a senior high school football player. You coach, you know, you told a great story before about preparing a team in one day. Could you coach in this climate where you don't know if you're going to play or not? And I think that makes us a fascinating topic. I'm with Coach Jeff Skura, and I'm with Glenn Howe. I'm Brad Ellis. Again, you're listening to Behind the Locker Room Door, brought to you by Nova Home Loans, the presidential team at Nova Home Loans. We'll be back right after this.
We would like to thank our sponsor, Tom Jones. Keep listening for the Adaptive Athlete segment, where we talk about athletes who overcame the odds and continued their athletic career, and those who have turned into athletes despite their unfortunate circumstances.
This is Edmund Marquez with Allstate Insurance. I had the pleasure of playing football for Coach Skurin on the Sabino High School undefeated state championship team of 1990. Coach Skurin taught us to leave it all out on the field, to have a plan and to work hard to execute that plan. At our local Allstate agencies, we take that same winning attitude when helping our clients protect their assets and their loved ones. If you want to be in good hands and save money on your home and auto insurance, please call the Edmund Marquez Allstate agencies today.
Special thanks to our sponsor, Hazen Enterprises, providing quality office space in Tucson for the past 40 years.
Hi, it's Bill and Lamone from CPRDU. We're proud to sponsor Behind the Locker Room Door. As with any activity, there's always a possibility of getting injured.
CPRDU trains many of our youth, high school, and college coaches in CPR and first aid. We want you to come and take a certified CPR course. Mention you heard this on Behind the Locker Room Door and get a 50% discount. Contact us at cpr2u.com. or call us at 520-400-8204. At CPR2U, we save lives.
This is Coach Jeff Skurin. I'd like to tell you about my friend Dan Price of Price & Price Attorneys. As our family attorney, Dan was so much more than a professional helping us in our time of need. He was a true friend of the family. If you don't know Dan, let me tell you that he's organized, prepared, intelligent, and a sincere person as you're ever going to meet. We trust Dan with our family needs, and we know that you can trust him with yours. If you have a personal injury case, call Price & Price and ask for Dan.
You're listening to Behind the Locker Room Door, brought to you by Eric Painter and the presidential team at Nova Home Loans, Tucson's number one home lender. This segment is brought to you by CPR2U. Learn CPR, save a life. CPR2U. Okay, gentlemen, as we were heading into the break, we had a great interview with Nemer Hasse, Coach Skurin, great job on that. And we were talking about the impact of COVID. And again, I know some of you are like, COVID again, but this is really an important topic. Since we last talked, we had a little impromptu meeting yesterday, I think. TUSD has made their big decision. We had some high school football games last night. There's a big cross-country meet this morning out in Marana. Glenn, you bring a unique perspective because we've talked about you being the trainer and we've talked about you being the former player and a guy who has coached, trained kids who are now playing in the NFL. We were talking about Blake Martinez off. But you bring another unique perspective. You have a senior in high school who is a football player who hasn't gotten to play yet and maybe doesn't know. Do they even know? Because trying to get your son ready for a senior year, biggest year of high school? College is on the horizon. He might be a prospect. You've got a lot on your plate. Oh, yeah, we're going to throw a pandemic at you.
Yeah, and it's crazy because every day he comes home, I ask him, how was practice and was there any news? So we're on a team chat, and I check that team chat every single day to see what's going on. Then I start fishing the internet to see what AIA or TUSD or Marana Unified School District, you know, and I was happy to see TUSD was going to play. Because no place, so that's the biggest school district in the city, and it's just that they go through their protocols. I went to their practices. I saw how Matt Johnson's doing a great job of trying to control this thing, and just it's just such an unusual thing seeing the kids out there. They haven't been in pads. They've been in pads, you know, but not full pads yet. So, you know, they've it's just really stressful for a parent. I know how all the parents are, and I can see it on the team chat, you know, when we talk about it. It's something that we have to be able to see every day when you come back from practice. You know, do you, you know, wash your hands, do all your stuff? You know, are you guys staying separated and all that stuff? So it's a difficult time.
Yeah, I've got 9-year-old twins. They're playing soccer, youth soccer. My daughter does gymnastics. Again, it's I can only imagine, you know, we're dealing with a team of 14 who don't touch each other. It's soccer. I mean, yeah, there's some contact, but not in practice. Meanwhile, you're, you know, trying to play high school football. And high school football, and again, you've got your great players who've been playing since they were four. You've got the guys who are just out there trying to earn a letter. Mm-hmm. Coach, I can't imagine trying to prepare for a season where A, limited contact. B, you don't know when you're going to play. C, you don't know who can play because they might be quarantining. How does the coach handle this?
You know, you do that the way you win any football games. You control the few things in life that you can control. And that's what I've tried to do my entire career. I mean, when I speak at clinics to coaches, I tell them that when you make your opening month, now it's a week, and I even had an all-star game where I had the guys for one day. And when you make that list of what you want to accomplish in that length of time, I tell them, write it in pencil and write very lightly and carry a big eraser because you're going to go out there for one practice and you're going to realize that what you had planned is not possible. It's not feasible. Obstacles are going to come up. Unforeseen circumstances are going to happen. And how you deal with that, it's a little bit like game management. That's what you do during the course of a ball game when you get an injury that you don't want and certainly didn't expect. If you put an offense around a quarterback that could do this, that, and the other, and then you throw this, he gets hurt, and you throw the backup out on the field, and he can't do those things, don't be looking around at the kid's lack of ability. Coach, that was you. You saw he didn't have that ability in practice, and you went with that plan for him anyway. It's like maybe being, I coached track for 20 years, and it's like having a 4x100, and you lose one of the legs, and you start moving number 2 to number 3, and number 1, number 4, and you start playing it. These guys are used to, what's the least amount of damage? Replace the missing part. Parts are parts. That kid should have been practicing the number 2 slot if that kid couldn't run. And then you have 1, 3, and 4 doing what they've been doing all the time, and you adapt to the situation, being as conscious to the kids that keep it simple. That's what they want to go to the game, and they want to play, and they want to be on familiar territory. And that's what you have to structure any practice like. So you go to the health department, you look at your district, you look at the guidelines, you've been given marching orders. Coaches are not in charge here. People are out there, and they're blaming the coach. Listen, the coaches, we're at the bottom of the heap on these things. We do what we're told to do out there, or we lose our job. And that's just the fact of life. And so you go out there, you take what you're given, and you make the best possible plan that you can, given the assets and resources of players and coaches and equipment that you can bring to bear on the field on any given day. And you use that time as wisely, you manage that time as wisely as possible, and you give your kids a chance to be in the game.
And you know, like in the weight room, you know, I'm like a carrying a bottle, a spray bottle with me the whole time. Because every time I, you know, one of my guys touched the weights, I got to spray it down and wipe it down. I'm doing that, making it as clean as possible for my parents to understand when I'm training you in the weight room, you're going to get something that is disinfected. Because a lot of parents are thinking about that, and you got to spray down everything. My hands are like, or I had to put lotion on my hands at the end of the day because I have, you know, I'm wiping stuff down with disinfectant everywhere. So it's really, you got to be conscious of it, and you got to do it not only for yourself, but for your kids that you're training.
Yeah, that was one of the questions I had for you, Glenn, and from your training background. Some kids have access to weights. Mm-hmm. Some kids are adapting. I've seen a lot of things online, guys making weights out of cinder blocks.
Yep.
Some kids just can't afford it. The haves and the have-nots. We're going to talk about that, I think, a few times during the show. Is there a fear of injury or lack of development? Or, you know, like I know one of the schools here, the coach would send out on Twitter every day the workout. And I tried to do the workout.
Yeah.
I like to work out. I couldn't do it. So I know it's a rigorous workout. But can push-ups and body weight squats and things like that really prepare a kid for a season? And maybe football's a little different than some others. But, you know, if you're playing basketball, you're getting hit. If you're playing soccer, it can get physical. Are the kids who didn't have access to a weight room, are they at a severe disadvantage, or can you do other things to cope with that?
You can do other things, but this is the issue. This is why I've had this issue for the last about 10 years, is if you send a workout to a kid, okay, this is before COVID, send a workout to a kid, the kid has access to internet. So he sees all these workouts going on and everything, and they're all of a sudden, he's not doing your workout, okay, because they think that, okay, I'm not doing it. So you have to be able to say, okay, dude, you got to do your basic, your core lifts. You got to get that in. And then you can, you know, I give them sometimes selection. Use something else to use for your shoulders. Do something else so they can be creative, so they feel like they're part of the workout. And I understand a lot of people say, well, why don't you just give them everything? But there's too much information out there that sometimes the kids just don't want, you know, and it's hard to implement your program when you're not there, when you're saying you got to do it on this count. You got to get to this level. You got to be able to do this many reps. We got to get quality reps and everything. And the kids that are out there that don't have the equipment, that is just a tough, all those kids that are working out, I see them on their posting on their Twitter and everything. Those are a great job of those kids because they want it. And that's what we have to find of those kids that want it. You got to be able to give them some kind of equipment and some kind of knowledge so they can do it right.
And it's the same thing with these, with from team to team and district to district, you know, who wants it? And unfortunately, you know, right now the kids and the parents and the coaches, they're the ones who want it, but they're not the decision makers. And we have to pay attention to the science. And just like in training, you know, because we don't want unnecessary illnesses or COVID. You know, there's a game canceled. Horizon canceled their game this week because of one COVID case in the team. And they canceled all three levels and all three games because that's what their district instructed them to do in that particular case. And so, you know, you don't want, and listen, you don't want to be the kid on the team that has it, that causes it. My grandson, right now had to go and get a COVID test because one kid showed up in his hybrid situation. And, you know, and now everybody's going out and getting tested.
It's a weird time we're living in with COVID and a pandemic. And, you know, somewhere there's a joke about one of our ages here and maybe living through the Spanish flu back in 1918. But yeah. I'm not going to make it because I might be able to point it right at myself. This segment has been brought to you by CPR2U. Learn CPR, save a life. You're listening to Behind the Locker Room Door. And when we come back, we're going to switch gears a little bit. We are going to talk a little bit about adapted athletes. And if you don't know what adapted athletes and adapted athletics are, stay tuned, because hopefully we're going to educate you and inspire you. This segment has been brought to you by CPR to you. You will be back right after this.
Becoming a homeowner is probably on your bucket list, but are you ready to go for the goal? You might have heard that interest rates are at an all-time low, but what does that mean for you? Eric Painter with Nova Home Loans presidential team is a former athlete and letter winner from the U of A, and he wants to help you navigate the current market and score your dream home. If you want to work with a lender who'll never stop working for you, call Eric Painter today at 419-9457 or visit novapresidentialteam.com. NMLS 172753. Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087, BK09024. Equal housing opportunity. Terms and conditions may apply.
Special thanks to our sponsor, Hazen Enterprises, providing quality office space in Tucson for the past 40 years.
Sean Furrier for Jack Furrier Tire and Auto Care. There's a rumor that summer could come to an end sometime and bring us cooler temperatures, which is great news for us and mostly good news for your car. But for some of you, the cooler overnight temperatures will be just enough to trigger your tire's low pressure warning light. In most cases, you can solve the problem simply by adding the correct amount of air to your tires and then get back to enjoying the cooler temperatures. As always, you can stop by any of our 14 area Jack Furrier Tire and Auto Care locations for a free tire inspection and air pressure check. And if you need help with that low pressure warning light, we fix those too. This month, mention this ad, and with the purchase of any new tire pressure sensor, we'll install it in your wheel and rebalance your tire absolutely free. You'll find even more specials to get you road trip ready, along with our COVID-safe store practices at jackfurriers.com. So call ahead, make an appointment online, or just drive up. Jack Furrier Tire and Auto Care. Since 1960, we're here to get you there.
The Adaptive Athlete segment is brought to you by Tom Jones.
You're listening to Behind the Locker Room Door, brought to you by Eric Painter and the presidential team at Nova Home Loans, Tucson's number one home lender. And this segment of Behind the Locker Room Door is brought to you by Tom Jones. We appreciate Tom Jones for his support of the show. So we're switching gears a little bit. We're going to be talking about adaptive athletics. And our guest here today is an impressive guy, Richard Brown, who competes in adaptive athletics, who is now, I guess I've just found out, going to compete with a few other athletes in the decathlon, which is just crazy to me. as a guy who's like tried to play like rec league, beer league, roller hockey, just the fact that you're competing in the decathlon at all is just staggering.
Beer hockey, is it in the decathlon? What does this world come to?
But he is, Richard has participated in several events, including the 60 meters, 100 meters, 200 meters, 4x100 meters, which of course Coach was talking about. He competed at the 2012 London Paralympic Games, where he took the silver in the 100 meters, the 2013 IPC Athletic World Championships, a silver in the 100, 4x100 meter gold, 100 meter world record, and a record in the 4x100, 214, 215. I could just go on and on, but we don't want to read your biography. Richard, we appreciate you coming on and talk about adaptive athletics, something some people know a lot about, a lot of people don't know about. Just kind of give your background a little bit more before we start peppering you with questions to try and educate ourselves and others.
Yeah, no worries. I actually had a severe injury back in 2007, caused me to go through a plate glass window. Had about 13 surgeries, decided to go ahead and get my leg amputated, and that changed my life forever. I became a person with a disability, from Mr. Football and to laying in a hospital bed. It was definitely a turnaround. So athletics being a part of my life was always a part of my life, even after the accident. So got back into it. They told me I couldn't play football anymore because of, you know, how the prosthetic worked at the time. So I chose track and field. And I stuck with it. And 10 years later, I'm a world record holder and getting ready for the Olympic Games in Tokyo.
That's awesome. I mean, Richard, I just your the way you – I saw – Richard came out to the Sugar Skulls tryout. And I was so impressed with you, with your confidence, with your ability. And this dude is fast, man. I'm talking about really fast. And he had great hands and everything. And, you know, I want to know, is that how do you train? What is it? Is it a different training when you have, you know, your one leg and then you have your other leg? How do you, are you working, you know, trying to get development on both glutes and both quads and everything? What are you doing?
That's the thing about it today. So we have a lot more info, like you were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. It's we're in the information age. So I think 10 years ago when I first became an amputee, it was just, you know, do the best of what you got, try to get down the track. Now it's because we have so much information, we know mm-hmm. that, oh, if I don't have my calf, I can use my hip flexor and my piriformis, and yep. that can kind of substitute, and we can do a couple of different things. So now, adaptive athletes, we're getting creative in the gym where there's band work or, you know, a lot of unilateral things, just work on one side symmetry and all those things, because I think the biggest jump is now we're not using our implements, whether it's wheelchairs or prosthetic legs or prosthetic arms or, you know, our guides. Those things aren't a part of the sport anymore. It's more the athlete is the athlete. And again, that's just information. So we train, I would say, just like a typical athlete. I do the same thing as someone, you know, like Gatlin. I trained with Justin Gatlin for about 2 years down in Florida. We did all the same workouts. We did all the same weightlifting programs.
Wow.
But I did have to come back after, you know, and do all my single leg things and do all my balance things and all my symmetry things, because I do have a disability. And that was the difference. So you put in that work the same, and then you go back and do what you need to do to counteract whatever your ailment is.
Tell us about the adaptive athletic program at U of A.
And it's a great program here in town. I had the great privilege of meeting Mr. Jim Click, and he introduced me to the group down there at down there at the U of A. It's the biggest one in the country with over 22 sports, from golf to tennis to wheelchair rugby to basketball to wheelchair racing. But now we're bringing ambulatory athletes. And that's just for the people who don't know, ambulatory is just people who aren't in a wheelchair. So if you have a disability, but you aren't in a wheelchair, so it could be mental disability, amputation, MS, MD, things that just don't bound you to a wheelchair. So it'll be the first of its kind outside of SDSU, who has some CP guys, but we're bringing amputees and visually impaired to the U of A to compete and get ready for some Paralympic Games.
That's awesome.
Hey, a long time ago, I worked with the blind ski races when I worked for the U.S. Olympic Committee, and I just marveled at the coaches and the kids, the attitude and the camaraderie and the way they work together. Tell us what that's like. I mean, is it different coaching, you know, a student like this, a young developing athlete like this, and what are they like in terms of accepting coaching?
You know, I think that's the best part about it. Like, everybody has a story, no matter if you have a disability or not. It's just the kids with the disability, you can see it. The physical disability, you can actually see their ailments. So growing up in today's age, especially social media, it's different for them because, you know, everything is how they look and how they're perceived. And so it's a lot cooler. You know, it's more acceptable these days, especially when you can be athletic. And a lot of the times, athletics give these guys and these kids an avenue to be quote unquote normal or have their quote unquote normality, their normal lives. So it's very easy. They're super accepting, especially down, because when I first became into the sport, we didn't have coaches. We didn't have gyms that had unilateral, you know, machines in it. Everything was, again, do the best of what you got, and you gotta make things work. But now 10 years later, in a world that's so politically charged and so socially charged, that a lot of acceptance is going on, and it's a good thing to be in a demographic such as an athlete with disabilities, because it's so many avenues popping up all of a sudden, and like this opportunity to be on the radio today to talk about adaptive athletes, and I think that's such a big thing that we're trying to take advantage of in today's world. And again, accessibility. These kids can get on Instagram and ask me all the questions they want. I didn't have that. You know, I had to call Marlon and, you know, Marlon Shirley, who's the guy who broke his world record, and hope he was near his phone.
When I did camps and stuff, and they had a session where they come out and they bring the para athletes out, what they used to call them, Paralympic athletes. And I know they've changed that term now. But what I brought up, I couldn't help but watch the athletes themselves gravitate towards these kids and want to help them. Mm-hmm. So let's just say there's parents out there that have an athlete that fits, you know, in this thing, or they have a question about it, or anybody's out there that really would like to coach and get involved with this. Can you tell us how you'd go about doing that?
And that's amazing. We were just talking about it before we went on air that there are even courses now for adaptive athletic training. There are groups, whether we have here in town, we have 360 Ability, we have at the U of A Adaptive Athletics. So just here in town, we have groups that will train you to coach kids with disabilities, whether it's mental, whether it's, you know, physical. So even we have a program where we even have kids with emotional traumas deal with their emotional traumas through physical activity.
Wow.
So all of these we're learning, regardless of the trauma, regardless of the disability or the medical ailment, physical activity helps, whether it's, you know, depression. I struggle with bipolar, and that's something that's big in the athletic community, whether it's within my football friends with the CTE and how they deal with things. A lot of the times that pressure, whether it's compressions or lifting weights or having that avenue, it helps, regardless of the disability. So those are the things we learn. So people are gravitating to it. I think the fit life is so much. It's definitely more mainstream these days.
That's awesome.
You know, you've got your still set real high. You got these world records behind you. I think you had an undefeated season. But what's next for you? Because you're still competing, and you've got your eyes on the prize.
Yes, sir. So that's the biggest thing right now, is just progressing the adaptive athletic community, whether it's here in town and across the world, getting the world out there. We are here. We're athletes, and we do our thing. But for me personally, Tokyo is the biggest goal. I'm not alone in this. It's about four other athletes who have physical disabilities, whether it's Blake Leeper, Marcus Ram, my boy Jimmy. So it's just we're out here to the point where we want to be included because of our talent and not excluded because of something we can't control, which is our disability.
You're also a big advocate. You mentioned mental health. I know you do some things with parental rights. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you're advocating on a lot of different levels here. How do you find the time to do that while still training, competing, trying to help people in many different communities?
Because it's life. It's nothing separate than I do every day. You know, I wake up, I go to the gym, I'm a father, so my parenting rights is something that I live every day. I'm a person with a disability, so advocating for people with a disability is something I do every day. So I think I have, you know, we're living in the climate today where I fall in so many quote unquote demographics, whether it's I'm a young African American male, I'm a conservative, I'm a parent, you know, all of these things where I fall into these different groups, and it's very easy to allow people to jump on you because of the things you believe in, and it's very easy to become argumentative with people because of the things you believe in. But those things aren't really constructive, I feel like. So being out there on the front lines and coaching a kid who has a disability, or helping an addict by inviting him to the gym with me. Hey, don't go do drugs, come to the gym. Mm-hmm. That's how you approach those.
And really what you're saying from a coach's point of view is you do what all successful athletes do. Just listening to you now confirms what I really thought, and that is you have an athletic process and you follow it. Mm-hmm. And just the same way Glenn, when he trains his athletes, or when I work with a team, you know, you have a process that works. You've talked to expert people in mm-hmm. the field. You've talked to others who've traveled the same road you want to treat, and you develop a plan that works for you, mm-hmm. and you follow it to the detail, and you work hard. And if you work hard enough, and if you got enough God-given talent, you got a chance.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Richard, we appreciate you coming on with us today. Any last words for our listeners before we have to go home already, guys?
Thank you guys for having me on. Thanks again for CTI sponsoring the segment. Thanks. Shout out to Mr. Tom Jones. He's an awesome guy.
And we're gonna have you on. We're gonna have something with adaptive athletes every week, man.
Yes,
gonna promote what you do, and I think it's fantastic what you do, man.
Yeah, it's a great community here in town where there's mental disability, our physical disability, or our abuse addicts. Like, we have a great support system here in Tucson. So just to have that back, and it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, this segment has been brought to you by Tom Jones, and it is going to be a weekly adaptive athletics segment. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say we're the only show in town who are not only tackling adaptive athletics, but on a weekly basis. So we appreciate Richard for coming on. I think we're going to have some future conversations with you. Again, we appreciate Tom Jones for sponsoring the segment. Fellas, that's about it.
That went by fast.
It goes by fast. Next week, we're going to continue to focus on our expertise, coaching, training, the media, recruiting. But we're going to switch. The ball is going to get a little rounder.
Yeah.
We did a little football heavy. We're going to be talking basketball next week. I know Glenn, a mutual friend of ours, Reggie Geary, who people know from the U of A basketball team, the men's team. Well, he helped out the women's team while Coach Barnes was at the final stages of her dealing with maternity leave. Coach's office is going to talk to maybe one of Tucson's favorite sons, Josh Pastner, the head coach at Georgia Tech, and we'll be bringing you more adaptive athletes. You're listening to Behind the Locker Room Door, brought to you by Eric Painter and the presidential team at Nova Home Loans, Tucson's number one home lender. This segment was brought to you by Tom Jones, who sponsored Adaptive Athletics. I'm Brad Ellis. That's Glenn Howell. That's the coach, Jeff Skurin. We'll see you next week.